the Day of Trumpets, Yahweh's appointed time for an acclamation of joy, or, on the other hand, a battle cry, depending on whose side you're on, on whose side you stand. The house of Judah refers to the first 2 days of the seventh month as Rosh Hashanah, which means the head, the new or the first of the year. They celebrate it this year on the 29th and 30th of September, a two-day tradition based on astronomical computations designed to make sure that at least one of the days will be correct and celebrated, that the Day of Trumpets would be celebrated, according to Scripture. And they do this to avoid the confusion, which we kind of all understand, when believers cite the new moon on different days in different areas of the world. We, too, have our traditions as well of citing the new moon locally. In the process, those of Judah have created a doctrine that is not biblical. Additionally, the phrase Rosh Hashanah is found in Scripture, but it is not found in reference to the Feast of Trumpets. Let's see where it is found. Exodus 12, verse 2. This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. And below that, we have a verse with keywords transliterated. Okay? It would read, this HaKadosh shall be your Rosh Kadoshim. It shall be the Roshon Kadoshi Hashanah to you. And we can hear the Rosh Hashanah in this verse, the first and last words of the phrase, Roshon Kadoshi Hashanah. Translated literally, it might read, this, the new moon, shall be your beginning of new moons. It shall be my first new moon of the year to you. Whose new moon is this? It's Yahweh's new moon. Before we go any further, let me insert here a little Hebrew lesson. Actually, it turns out to be a longer lesson, but a little Hebrew lesson about Kadosh and Kadesh, okay, which reference new moon and renewal, as well as the words Kodesh and Kadosh. Okay, the Hebrew word Kadosh, which we were just looking at, is spelled Ket Dalet Shin, three letters, and means a new moon. It comes from the root word Kadosh, which means to make new, that is, to renew or rebuild. The term Brit Kadoshah, for example, means the renewed or rebuilt covenant, translated New Testament in English. And you get the idea of renewal as something cyclical following returning to the same point over and over again. This is a constant theme throughout Scripture. In the 23rd Psalm, for example, the phrase paths of righteousness literally means cycles of righteousness, referring to the everlasting repetitions of holy convocations of Yahweh's word, including the weekly Sabbath, Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, Feast of Weeks called Pentecost in the New Testament, trumpets, Day of Atonement, Feast of Tabernacles, and the last great day. So when we read the 23rd Psalm and we're looking at the words paths of, he leads me into the paths of righteousness, he's speaking of those eternal cycles of righteousness, the feast days, basically. The word path is the Hebrew word agol, which means to revolve, circular or round. In Jeremiah 31, verse 31, we read, behold, the days are coming, says Yahweh, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. The term Jeremiah is using is Brit Chadashah. He is describing a rebuilt covenant, one agreement between all 12 tribes of Israel and Yahweh. including those grafted into Israel, to obey the law of Yahweh. The New Testament is not a brand new agreement in which Yahweh says, okay, you don't have to obey me anymore. You don't have to meet with me on the days I sanctified, the days I set down to show you my plan of salvation, and you don't have to pay attention to my prophets anymore. No. How could he go against his word? Impossible. Yahshua came, suffered, and died to restore holiness to the world. He came to restore Yahweh's inheritance, the whole house of Israel, back to the Father. Both sons, the son who stayed home and the prodigal, which means unsaved, son who left home and fell into the distorted ways of the world. This is the plan that Yahweh has written for us to understand. I want to give you just a few more examples so you can get the full impact of this word, Kaddish. In Samuel 1, chapter 11, verse 13, we read, "But Saul said, 'Not a man shall be put to death this day, for today Yahweh has accomplished salvation in Israel.' Then Samuel said to the people, 'Come, let us go to Gilgal and renew the kingdom here or there.'" Renew here is the word Kaddish. They weren't going to create something new and different. They were going to restore the kingdom. In Psalm 51, verse 10, it says, "Create in me a clean heart, Elohim, and renew a right spirit within me." Renew here is the word Kaddish. Restore, the prayer is asking for restoration of Yahweh's spirit within me. In Lamentations 5:21, we read, "Turn us back to you, O Yahweh, and we will be restored. Renew our days as of old." Okay. The words turn and restore both have the Hebrew root shuv, which means return to the starting point. The phrase, "Turn us back to you, O Yahweh, and we will be restored," teaches us that Yahweh is the one who can restore us to his way. The phrase renew, or Kaddish, renew our days of old, teaches us essentially to pray that Yahweh's will shall be done on earth as it is in heaven, as it was in the beginning. Now, there is a different word that resembles Kaddish. It is Kadosh, spelled Kuf Dalet Wa Shin, and means holy or set apart. For example, Isaiah 6, verse 3 reads, "And one," and he's referring to the seraphim, "and one cried to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is Yahweh of hosts.'" That is in Hebrew, Kadosh, 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 Yahweh Sabaoth. "The whole earth is full of his glory." This is repeated in Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. "The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, 'Holy, holy, holy,'" which in Greek is Kurios Chateos Pantokrator. Or as one might read in Hebrew, Yahweh El Shaddai, who was and is to come. In other words, he's eternal. Now, Kodesh means a holy one or being holy. A holy convocation, for example, is a Mikra HaKodesh. The Holy Spirit is the Ruach HaKodesh. It's not Kaddish, okay, or even Kodesh. I mean, it's confusing. Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. So let's go back to our discussion about the beginning of the new year. and the only verse in Scripture that refers to Rosh Hashanah, okay, in Exodus 12:2, which we've looked at, but we'll go a little bit further. This month shall be your beginning of months, which is the Roshon Kadashi HaShanah. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, which is Abib, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And then skipping down to verse 11, you shall eat it, that is the lamb, in haste. It is Yahweh's Passover. So the first day of the year, according to Scripture, is not at the end of the last harvest, but it's the beginning of the year, essentially, at the first harvest. Yahweh says the new year begins on the first day of the month of Abib. But why then, we might ask, then does the house of Judah proclaim that the Feast of Trumpets is the head of the year? Perhaps it is in reference to a couple of other scriptures. Let's take a look at Exodus 23, beginning at verse 14. Three times you shall keep a feast to me in the year. You shall keep the feast of unleavened bread. You shall eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded you at the time appointed in the month of Abib. For in it you came out of Egypt. None shall appear before me empty. And the feast of harvest, the first fruits of your labors, which you have sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering at the end of the year, which is in Hebrew, Batzit Hashanah. Batzit Hashanah. When you have gathered the fruit of your labors from the field. So there is a reference here to the end of the year. The key to understanding what is going on here may rest in the word end, in the phrase end of the year in verse 16. It is the Hebrew word batzit, from the root word yatzah, a word with a myriad of meanings, only a few of which suggest the meaning end. I'll spare you the time of reading through the huge list of synonyms, because what seems clear is that it points to something significant, like the last harvest of the year. In that sense, it would be the end of the work year for an agrarian society, a respite from toil. The idea of the ingathering at the end of the year is also referenced in Exodus 34:22, where it is described as the year's end, Tekufat Hashanah. The three annual feast times are again mentioned in Deuteronomy 16, verses 1 through 17. However, there is no mention here of an end, or for that matter, a beginning of the year. So it seems to me that shouting Happy New Year and blowing trumpets to celebrate a new year on the Day of Trumpets is a bit presumptuous. To me, it demeans the day that Yahweh established as the new year, the new moon that appears when the first fruits of the barley harvest are just about ready to be cut for the wave sheaf offering to Yahweh. And the wave sheaf is, of course, a reference to the first fruits, Yahshua the Messiah. That may be another reason, I speculate, that the house of Judah does not celebrate the new year in the month of Abib. Who would celebrate a day upon which they put the Messiah of Yahweh to death? Anyway, continuing with this discussion, the scriptural head of the year, Rishon Kadashim Harshanah, or a shortened form, Rosh Hashanah, is the new moon in the first month of the year, called Abib, preceding Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, not the Day of Trumpets. We've learned that there are two titles for the end of the year, Batzit Hashanah and Tekufat Hashanah. Now, one could stretch and twist the scriptures a bit and reason that if there is an end of a year, it also must be the beginning of a new year. Yeah, that's it. Must be a new year. Yeah, that'll work. Except for a small problem. The first of the year feasts arrive at a time of an agricultural beginning, culminating in the end of the harvest season at the Feast of the Ingathering. The period in between is only 6 months because Israel has, apparently, a six-month growing season. It just seems to me that the new year celebrated by Judah, beginning at the Day of Trumpets, is a man-made day. Ironically, just as the West has imitated Yahweh's feast by creating their own two sets of eight-day feasts, I'm referring to Christmas to New Year's, which is 8 days, and Palm Sunday to Ishtar, which is again 8 days, same number of days from Passover to the end of the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles to the last great day. These are copies. It is also copied the idea of blowing trumpets on the first day of the Gregorian year, January 1st. What a tangled web is woven when one religion copies another religion's traditions. Both, then, miss the mark. In Leviticus 23, verses 23 and 24, we read, and we find the commandment to keep the Day of Trumpets. Then Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel." The children of Israel is, in Hebrew, B'nai Yisrael, from the Hebrew root ben, or son, literally, builders of Israel. And Yisrael, spelled Yod, Sin, Resh, Aleph, Lamed, meaning, he will rule with the power of El. And that comes from the word Sarah, meaning power, and El, meaning mighty one. Now, many of you are familiar with the pictographs of Hebrew. Pictographically, Yisrael means, if we look at Yod, Sin, Resh, Aleph, and Lamed, the pictures mean the hand of the head of strength, shepherds. And that word shepherds is a verb there. Or, if you will, the hand of Yahweh rules. Who is the hand of Yahweh? Of course, it is Yahshua, the one to whom Yahweh gave all power and glory, saying, in the seventh, and that's the word Shabbat, which means sacred or full, month, Kaddish, or new moon, on the first day. Interestingly, here we don't see the word Rosh, as in Rosh Hashanah. We see the word Echad. Meaning one, first, or united, as is recited in the Shema, Shema Yisrael, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Echad, Yahweh is one, Yahweh is united. The first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, Shabbat, which is a Sabbatism or a special holiday, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, and that word there is Turah, which means an alarm or an acclamation of joy, a loud noise, a splitting of the ears. Interestingly, no mention is made of a shofar or a trumpet in this verse. However, if you've ever sounded a ram's horn, you know that the bell of the horn is pointed right into your left ear. A holy, which is Kodesh, holy, which means holy, sacred, or set apart, convocation, mikra, gathering of ones called out, which also means a rehearsal. Let us read verses 23 and 24 of Leviticus 23 according to their literal Hebraic meaning about the Day of Trumpets. Yahweh is speaking through Moses to the builders who will rule with the power of the Almighty on the seventh new moon. Memorialize joy and alarm in a sacred rehearsal. Let me repeat that. Yahweh is speaking through Moses to the builders who will rule with the power of the Almighty on the seventh new moon. Memorialize joy and alarm in a sacred rehearsal. A sacred rehearsal. A sacred acting out of something that is to come. A rehearsal for what? Well, today, this day, is the rehearsal for that day when rehearsing will no longer be permitted. And that day is, well, it's on the day that no one knows, the day or the hour. In Matthew 24, verse 36, we read, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man." So we don't know when our rehearsing will culminate in the most important day of our life. But we do know that the Day of Trumpets is the only holy convocation about which we cannot predict the day or the hour. That's because it falls on the seventh new moon of the year, which is different than all the other feast days. They all fall after the first day of that month is determined. Passover is on the 14th, Unleavened Bread is on the 15th, and then you count 7 weeks. I mean, all of the other feast days, except the Feast of Trumpets, we know exactly what day those are going to be once the beginning of that month has been determined. And that's because it falls on the seventh new moon of the year, a day upon which we must watch the heavens, knowing what we're looking for. We also know from Scripture that this day will be both joyous and alarming, and it will involve or revolve around people who have been rehearsing for that day when they will be responsible to rule by the precepts, laws, and ordinances of Yahweh. Who are those builders? 1 Kings 5, verse 18. So Solomon's builders and others prepared timber and stones to build the temple. The temple of Yahweh was built, destroyed, and rebuilt by Israel. Building the physical temple of Yahweh was the rehearsal for those in the latter days who will build the kingdom of Yahweh. In that day to come, those who believe and obey are the very building blocks, the living stones. And if you recall from our previous discussion, the word stone is made up from two Hebrew words, Ab and Ben. Ab is father and Ben is son. The word is Eben. That we are, presumably, the building blocks, the living stones of the temple of Yahweh. 1 Peter 2, verse 4, coming to him as to a living stone, that's going to the Messiah, who was rejected indeed by men, but chosen by Yahweh and precious. You also, as living stones, living fathers and sons, are living with the Father and the Son, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy, which is Kodesh, priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to Yahweh through Yahshua Messiah. And continuing on, therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture. And what Scripture is he speaking of? The Torah, the prophets, and the writings. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone," the Father, Son, "which the builders rejected, has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. Those who believe and obey the word, the law, the teachings of Yahweh, are in the process of becoming, of being built up to the house of Yahweh through Yahshua the Messiah, who is the cornerstone, the rock upon which we stand." We also find a reference in Psalm 118, verses 24 and 26. This is the day which Yahweh has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Yahweh, do save, we beseech you. O Yahweh, we beseech you, do send prosperity. And that's not money. Okay, prosperity means growth. That means producing that which is Yahweh's will. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of Yahweh. Baruch haba b'shem Yahweh. We have blessed you from the house, that is from the temple of Yahweh. In Luke 13:35, and this is Yahshua speaking to the Pharisees, see, your house is left to you desolate. And assuredly I say to you, you shall not see me until the time comes when you say, Baruch haba b'shem Yahweh. Blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. Yahshua told the people of Judah what will happen to them in Matthew 21, beginning at verse 42. Yahshua said to them, have you never read the scriptures? The stone, the Eben, the Father, Son, which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was Yahweh's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of Elohim will be taken from you and given to a nation, bearing the fruits of it. Incidentally, the word Ephraim means abundant fruit. In Revelation, we see more evidence of this in 2 verse 25. But hold fast what you have till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. And then he describes the power that will be given. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels, as I also have received from my Father. This is a key verse in all of Scripture. And he who keeps my works until the end. What were Yahshua's works? He was obedient to the Father. He did all that the Father asked. In Revelation 14:12, it says, those who endure of the saints, those who keep the commandments of Yahweh and who are of the faith of Yahshua. What is the faith of Yahshua? Is he Jewish? I don't think so. We think of the Pharisees who he chastised severely, calling them a brood of vipers, saying that they worship in the synagogue of Satan, that their father's the devil. I mean, these are horrible things to say to people, especially those who are assigned to teach the masses. Why did he do that? Did he hate them? No, I think he loved them. That's why he chastised them. He wanted them to understand that the laws that they were making up were keeping them from understanding the laws of Yahweh, the teachings of Yahweh. I think he loved them when he did that. In 1 Thessalonians 4:16, we read, for the Messiah himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of Elohim, and the dead in Messiah shall rise first. Isaiah 13:9, behold, the day of Yahweh cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. Who are the sinners being referred to here? First of all, what is sin? You all know that, but the audience might not. Sin is lawlessness. Sinners, therefore, are those outside the law of Yahweh, those who declare that the law of Yahweh is dead, those who do not acknowledge his feast days, those that are given to us to worship him upon. The word has been spoken. Yahweh gave the law to the Israelites. He gave his law to the Israelites. He spoke to them of the coming Messiah. He had them rehearse each step of the plan of salvation, which are identified by the phrase holy convocation, or in Hebrew, Mikra Kodesh, of which Roshon Kadeshi Hashanah identifies. This is Yahweh's plan of salvation. Are you one of those builders of the kingdom of Yahweh? One of those who will rule with the power of Elohim? Are you one of the children of Israel, carrying the name of Yahweh, having the law written on your heart and in your mind? Well then, blessings to you. If not, then may Yahweh, in his long-suffering and mercy, reach out to you and do whatever it takes to bring you to him for his name's sake. In Yahshua's mighty and loving name.